awkward, right? Because I already came over and tried to have a conversation. Now, you know, so that was really awkward. But again, I felt that thumb in the back. So I walked over and I kind of introduced myself again. I asked her about the little boy. I thought maybe that was her son. It wasn't. It was her little brother. And got to talking to her, got to learn a little bit more about her, what she did and was what she was going to school for and things like that. And then I was able to personally invite her to come to church the next day. Not just hand her a pamphlet and point at an address, but I was able to actually invite her to come be a part of our church service the next day. And you know what? The next morning she came. And so we saw her, our six American college students, and we all went up to her and said, hey, come sit with us. And she sat with us during the service. And at the end of the service, our missionary, David Hayes, gave an evangelistic message that day. And he had an appeal at the end. He had an altar call. And Julie went down and accepted Christ. And man, I'm telling you, I'm like, and then that moment, I'm like, oh, I'm so thankful I did what God wanted me to do. All that time, I was fighting it, right? You know, I was trying to make excuses. But in that moment, I was like, oh, God, thank you for letting me be a part of that. I didn't do anything but just be obedient. God's the one that did it. But that was so awesome. It was such a cool experience for the rest of my life. I mean, that was 28 years ago. It was 1993. 28 years later, that's one of the highlights of that summer for me. It was a great summer. So many cool experiences. God showing his faithfulness and God using us to do different things. But that story is and will always be one of my absolute favorite. Because God, I got to be used by God to do something really cool. And all it took was my obedience. Sometimes God calls us to go somewhere where it doesn't make sense, or we don't want to do it. Maybe we're just not in the mood or whatever. Maybe we have a good excuse. But when God is calling us, we need to be obedient. Jim Elliot was a missionary. I'm sure many of you have heard of the story Through the Gates of Splendor. Jim Elliot and several other missionaries went to the Aucan Indians and tried to win them to the Lord. They went, the Aucan Indians, they were a separated tribe. They didn't have contact with the outside world at all. And so they went and they tried to establish contact. They were able to do so with two tribe members. Well, those two tribe members went back to the village and said, these people are dangerous. And so when they came back to try to build on that first contact, the six men were killed by the Indians. And God called them to go and to do that. Sometimes God calls us, not only when it doesn't make sense, but sometimes God calls us to do things that are dangerous. And how do we rectify that? How do we rationalize that? Well, if you know the rest of the story, Elizabeth Elliot, Jim's wife, went back with their daughter, Valerie, a couple years later. And she was able to establish contact, and she actually moved and lived in the village with the Indians. And because of her forgiveness, because she was willing to forgive them for killing her husband, she won almost the entire village to Christ. She was even able to baptize the man who killed her husband. You talk about forgiveness. But because of that, she had such an impact. In fact, that tribe of Indians, they changed their name. Because the Aucan Indians, the Aucan means to, like warrior, savage. And so they changed their name. Because they're like, that's not who we are anymore. Christ had transformed that tribe in such a powerful way that they changed their name. Sometimes God calls us to go somewhere, to do something that we don't want to do. And sometimes it's just, you know, we don't want to be inconvenienced. Sometimes it's because God really has, or he always has a purpose why he calls us. And sometimes it may cost us something. Following Christ does cost us. But to know that when we are obedient, that God blesses it and he uses it to build his kingdom. That's the reminder that we need. And this morning, I pray that we'll be reminded of God's faithfulness through that. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Acts chapter 9. That's the text I'll be reading from this morning. I'll be reading verses 1 to 17. It'll also be on the screen if you want to follow along. But this is a story of another man who God was calling to do something that he really didn't want to do. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn on over there or follow along on the screen. Acts chapter 9, starting verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that means followers of Christ, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. I find that interesting. He says, "Who are you?" But then he calls him Lord. It's like he recognized who it was. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. So Saul got up from the ground, and he opened his eyes. He could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And then just the first three words of verse 17. Then Ananias went. The title of my sermon this morning is Go. And my prayer is that this will be a reminder to us of what our calling is as followers of Christ. But I also pray that it's also a reminder of God's faithfulness. Because when God calls us to go, when God calls us to do something, he always provides. It may not be the way we think, but God always provides. He is faithful, and he will give us what we need. Sometimes we say, "Well, God, I need to be trained. I need this. I need that." And God's saying, "No, I need you to just be obedient and do it." And when we are, when we walk and we go and we do what God's called us to do, we'll always be amazed at God's faithfulness and how he provides. That's who he is. When I told you about the youth and mission trip that I took, I left school on May 5th of that year. And I had to report to training camp in Dallas, Texas on June 4th, so just one day shy of a month. And when I showed up at training camp, I had to have my trip completely paid for, $2,500, okay? I had to have all the money raised. I had to have it all turned in by June 4th. May 5th, I left school with a grand total of $75 raised for my trip. God provided. God gave me opportunities to go and speak to churches. God gave me opportunities to do a lot of different things. He gave me a job for that month where I could earn some money and help pay for the trip. God provided. He raised all that money. So again, when I think back of youth and mission, I think back of my time in Kiev, I'm also reminded of how God was faithful in getting me there in the first place. Because I left school. I was calling my mom, who was not a believer at the time. And I'm thinking, I don't think this is going to work out. And my mom reminded me. My mom checked me. She said, "God has always provided for you, Jay. Why do you think he's not going to this time?" And I needed that. I needed that reminder. And so this morning I pray that you'll be reminded of God's faithfulness in your life. But I also pray that we're reminded of God's calling in our lives. And my first point this morning is this: God has a plan for your life. Now, I know that's not earth-shattering news for most of you. You've heard that probably. You've been in church maybe all your life or a long time. You've probably heard that countless times. God has a plan for your life. We know that. But what is it? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be reminded of what that plan is. I preached on this a few weeks back, and that plan, very simply, is to go and make disciples. That is what God is calling each of us who are followers of Christ to do. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples. And there's that word go again. That's why the message this morning is entitled Go. Ananias was told to go. We are told to go. Reggie McNeil, who's an author, he writes a lot of books on the missional church, one of my favorite authors, and he writes this in one of his books. He says, "The notion of sentness, or being sent, or going, lies at the heart of the missional church because it reveals the heart of God." Think about this. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, right? And we're so thankful he did. And Jesus came, and he lived his life, and he was crucified on the third day. He raised again. He made his appearance. He made it to the disciples and many others. And then it was time for him to go. And now think about this. If you're a disciple, right, Jesus comes along, he calls you to follow him, and you do. You give up everything, and you follow him. You think he's leading to a political revolution. You think, you know, that he's the future. And so you put all your marbles in that basket. You put all your loyalties in him, and then he goes and gets himself killed. Right? Totally turned their world upside down. Those couple days that Jesus was in the tomb, those disciples were scrambling. They were trying to make sense of it all. Jesus had told them this was all going to happen, but they missed it. And then on that third day, praise be to God, he raised again. He was risen again. And he's making his appearance. The disciples are thrilled. He's back, right? Well, then he tells them, I'm leaving again. You know, they weren't thrilled to hear that news. But what did Jesus say to him in that? He said, it is better that I go, because if I go, the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so God sent Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And guess what? He calls us to go. Therefore, go and make disciples. It is part of who God is to send. And so when God calls us and he calls us to go, we are just fulfilling who God is and what he's trying to accomplish. God's plan for your life may or may not include vocational ministry, but it most absolutely, definitely includes being involved in ministry. We are called to go and make disciples. So that's the first point. Second point this morning is this. What God desires is our obedience. It may not make sense to us. We may not like what God is calling us to do or where to go, but what God asks us to do is to be obedient and to trust him for the results. Doesn't mean you have to be excited about it. It really doesn't. It helps, but you don't have to be. I mean, think about Ananias, that passage we just read a few minutes ago. I'm going to give you the Jay Bush version, okay? God says, Ananias, I want you to go and lay hands on this dude who's going around arresting people and even overseeing the killing of some of God, of my disciples. Ananias is like, God, not sure if you know about this guy, but he's a bad dude. Not like a bad dude. He's like a bad dude. I mean, seriously, he's a bad dude. You know, if I go there and I lay my hands on him, he's going to grab my wrist, throw me in shackles, and, you know, I'm going to be, you know, I'm scared. I don't want to do this, God. But God says, I want you to go. And that's why I read those first three verses, verse 17, and Ananias went. Man, I admire Ananias. Because he didn't want to go. He was afraid. But he went anyway. And that's a tremendous example for each of us. And God understands, I want you to understand this morning that when we pause, when we ask God for a sign, or we ask God for a fleece, you know, when we ask, we pause and we're like, are you sure about this, God? I want you to know God does not get mad at us. Remember who's interceding on our behalf? Jesus. He was fully human. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. And guess what? He paused. Remember the night before his arrest? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. He's praying drops of blood. I mean, this is intense prayer. He wanted out. He wanted a plan B. He was saying, again, in my own words, God the Father, if there's another way, let's do it. Let's go with option B here. He knew what was coming in the hours ahead, and he was scared. And he's like, man, if there's a different way we can do this, let's do it. And God didn't get mad. We know that Jesus never sinned. So his pause, his questioning was not sin. He was just being honest with the Father. And sometimes we have to pause and we ask, God, are you sure? Is this really what you want? And we ask him to give us that reassurance, and he does. And in that moment, the thing that we have to realize is that even in that fear and that pause that Jesus had, how did he close that prayer? Yeah, not my will, but your will be done. He said, if there's another way, let's do it, but if it has to be done this way, as painful as it is going to be, as awful as it's going to be, I will do it. And that's the obedience that God wants from us. God understands our pausing, but he wants us in the end just walk in obedience. The devil, our adversary, will try to beat you up if you pause. Well, if you're a good Christian, you know, please ignore that. Listen to the Father and walk in obedience. Because if we walk in obedience, God will use our obedience to do something. There's a reason God is calling you to do it. There's a reason God is calling you to go or to do. And if we walk in obedience, if we do that, God will bless it. God will use it. It may cost us something. I can't stand up here and tell you, if you do this, God will give you this great reward. Or God will do this. God will give you the reward in knowing that you're walking in obedience. But God's not going to bless you with material things if you are obedient. That's not the gospel I'm preaching. But if we are obedient, God will reward that. And he will use that for his kingdom. He will reward the kingdom. He will build his kingdom through us. And it may cost us something, but it builds the kingdom, and that's what's most important. What God is looking for is our obedience. And that takes a lot of trust, doesn't it? When you something you don't want to do and it's somewhere you don't want to go, it takes a lot of trust. Which brings me to the third point this morning. If we're going to obey, if we're going to do what it is God's calling us to do or go where God's calling us to go, we have to obey. And which means we have to have that trust, which comes through intimacy, which means we must remain connected to the Father. Let me read you some passages from John 15, some verses from John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, and you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The point is we have to remain connected to the Father. We have to remain connected to the vine. And in that passage, I want you to understand, the command there is not to bear fruit. It says you will bear fruit if you remain in him, but the command for us is not to bear fruit. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us and through us. Our command is to remain connected. And if we will do that, God produces that fruit in our lives. And for me, that gives me great comfort. I don't have to try to figure out how to produce fruit. I just have to walk in obedience. And if I do that and I remain connected, God will do that through me and in my life. So the point is, we need to be obedient. We need to have that kind of trust. We need to have that kind of intimate relationship. When God says go, we go. We may pause, we may question, but ultimately, we go. We walk in obedience. We do what it is that God is calling us to do. I think of that story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. God said, just go head down that road, you know. Didn't give him any other instructions. And Philip went. I love that. That to me says that man had an intimate relationship with God. He didn't question. He didn't fight. He just went. No other question. No other instructions. He just went. And obviously God used that to do a great thing that day. We cannot try to do this on our own. We shouldn't even try. We can't, as that passage, some of those passages I've read. You know, apart from, if we are disconnected, if we are cut off from the vine, we can produce nothing. We can accomplish nothing. We can do nothing without him. And so we need to remain connected to him. We need to walk in obedience, and we need to remain connected to him. And if we do those things, God will use us to do incredible things for his kingdom. Preston Sprinkle writes a book. It's actually called Go. It has nothing to do with this sermon, but there was an excerpt that I wanted to share with you. And this is what he writes. The early Christians integrated this posture into their daily lives. Peter and John were going about their business when they were converted and healed a lame beggar. Stephen was going about his business when he was arrested and gave his final testimony before he was killed. Philip was going about his business when the Spirit of God directed him to the Ethiopian eunuch. Ananias was going about his business when God called him on him to convert and baptize Saul, the persecutor of the church. And then he writes, the first Christians didn't just send out missionaries. They were missionaries. And that is what God is calling us to do, to be missionaries in our workplace, in our home, in our neighborhoods, wherever it is that God calls us to do. In our pickleball leagues, you know, and whatever it is that we run and the things that we do in our lives, the circles that we're involved in. God calls us to be missionaries within those circles. God may be calling you to go serve in Bangladesh or somewhere around the world. He may or may not be calling you to do that, but I know he's calling you to serve him and be a missionary in your life and just the circles that you already are in, the people that you already know. And God wants to challenge you to increase that circle and to win others and be an example of Christ to others. I talked about Jim Elliot earlier, and this is one of his famous quotes, and I love it. I think it's so fitting for this message. He said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." What a powerful testimony. Let me read it one more time. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Jim Elliot lived that out, and he meant that. And it is true for him, and it's true for us. If we will walk in obedience, if we will do what it is that God calls us to do, which means we need to remain connected to him. We need to be cultivating. We need to be in God's word. We need to be praying. We need to be spending time with other Christians so that we can be strengthened, we can grow in our relationship, and then when God calls us, we go, we do what he's calling us to do. So my question in closing this morning is this. What story is God wanting to write in your life? Where is God calling you to go? Who is God calling you to go to? And most importantly, the question is, will you obey? Will you go? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your word. It truly is a light unto our path. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, I pray, to look to you and to know what it is that you're calling us to do. Very bare minimum, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, you call us to go and make disciples. Lord, I pray that you would give us the desire and the ability to do that. Help us to love others with the love that you first gave to us. And then when people ask, what's different about you? Why did you handle that differently? Why aren't you cheating the company? Why didn't you go off on that guy? That's an open door for us. Say, man, because what Christ has done in my life. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be looking for those opportunities to share your love and your goodness in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, wherever it is that life takes us. Lord, help us to have your eyes and to see people for who they are and the love that you have for them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to share your good news with them. Lord, I pray that today you would challenge us and encourage us to remain faithful to you. It doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for a short time, a long time. It doesn't matter if we're male, we're female. It doesn't matter if we've been to seminary or not. It doesn't matter if we're an introvert, an extrovert. Your calling is the same, to go and make disciples, to share your love with those around us. I pray, Father God, that you would give us the opportunity to do those things. And Lord, maybe this morning you're speaking to someone's heart. You've been calling them to go to someone. You've been calling them to go somewhere, to do something, and they have been pausing. Lord, I pray that this morning would be a reminder of your faithfulness, that you never leave us high and dry. You never leave us to our own devices, that you will go with us, you will go before us, and that you will make it possible if we will just walk in obedience. And Lord, the truth is that can be scary at times. But Lord, I pray that you would help us through our intimate relationship with you to just be obedient, even if we're scared, to just do what it is that you're calling us to do. And Lord, then to sit back and be amazed at how you move and work. And you can take someone as simple as us, someone as flawed as us, and you can build your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the desire to walk in your will, Lord God, to know what it is that you'd have us to do, to be obedient to you. And Father God, I pray that the kingdom would be built because of our obedience. We love you. We ask all this in your mighty and precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed.